Good morning. We welcome everyone to worship this morning, whether or not you're in person or online on Facebook. If you're online, we encourage you to scroll down the page and find the bulletin that's there, and you can follow along in the service. We're all praying that the Will Scotts are enjoying their sabbatical away, and Will will return on August 2nd, just so you know. This morning, we're especially glad to have Carol Wade back with us. And when we were talking a minute ago, she said it had been 5 years since she was here. And that's hard to believe because she is certainly a friend of our congregation. She was the organizing pastor of Faith Presbyterian Church in Blue Ridge. And she served there over about 10 years. And then she retired in 2012 and has served interim pastorates and is enjoying retirement. So we're glad to have her here. Thank you, Carol. I have one sad announcement. Our really good friend, Johnny Baucom, passed away Friday night. I'm sorry, she was such a friend of mine. She was one of the people in Dalton who got the social services and mental health issues on focus and helped us to understand that that was a necessary thing to conquer in our community. She was such a service-oriented person and a pillar of this church. Her family will announce a service in mid-August after Will gets back. The church continues through this week to gather items for the Family Crisis Center. You can look in the bulletin and see what they're accepting. So if you haven't done that already, try to remember it. Just have two more weeks to add to that gathering. I want to be sure that everybody is aware of the wonderful article that is in this month's Dalton Living magazine. It's a whole four-page article about our buddy Adam up in the balcony. And I hear a little bird told me that Pam Partain had something to do with this, and she's such a good writer. You'll enjoy seeing it, and it's so complimentary of our church. So be sure you pick up a copy. The Hubs have again invited us to their lakeside home for our church picnic on August 8th, so be sure that's on your calendar. And I would suggest that you plan your menu for what to bring. I would suggest that you get your fishing rods out and ready, and I would also suggest that you warm up your muscles for that cornhole tournament. So be ready for August 8th. And the other thing that's happening August 8th, and Andrew, you need to tell all of your friends, we'll have the blessing of the backpacks on August the 8th. That's the last Sunday before school starts. So tell all your friends that are, tell all your friends, Andrew, to come on August the 8th, because we're gonna bless the backpacks, okay? Since we're such a loving and caring congregation, I think we need to check on the success of the new career that Walter has got. And I wonder if Walter, are you out in the commons? I think we need a report on how many ties were ordered. I don't think he heard me. That's an inside joke, Carol. We'll have to tell you next week.
If it involves pie, I might need to know.
No,
ties.
Oh, ties.
Ties. Well, in that case, I'll just pass.
Are there any other items that someone needs to announce? If not, let us worship God. If you will, please stand for the call to worship. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be revered above all gods. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. Praise the Lord. And let us pray. Holy God, we have come to worship you. You are Lord of heaven and earth. We praise you for your greatness. Your wisdom is seen in all your works. Your grace and truth are revealed in Jesus Christ, your Son. Your power and presence are given us through your Holy Spirit. We revere your holy name, O Blessed Trinity. Receive our worship this day and work in us to make us agents of your love and mercy in the days to come. Amen. You may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and in faith, let us confess our sins together. First, in silence, let us pray. And together we pray. God of mercy and of grace, we come confessing our sin to you, because you have invited us to come. We come trusting your love to be at work for our forgiveness and restoration. We are truly sorry for the ways we hurt your heart. We are sorry for how we grieve your spirit when we do not live as people of hope, peace, joy, and love. Renew our hearts, O Lord, so that we are also kind, people known by our love for you and for one another, and for your name's sake. Amen. Oh. hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in prayer and power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Hey, I guess I should put this thing where you can hear me, huh? I'm glad to see you. Doesn't everybody you know bring their baby to church in a plastic bag? That doesn't do much for anybody's sense of peace, does it? We're talking about peace this morning when in the big people's church. You might be talking about it in your church too. I don't know. What's going on with you this morning? But I'm going to show you my little fella. See, it's not every preacher that brings a doll to church either. But that might be part of my peace. Do you ever have something special that you hold on to if you're kind of scared or something? You don't? You sound like the birds that live in my yard when they go, like that, right? You found what when you're scared? You have something to hold on when you're scared? Does it look like this? No, it doesn't look like that? Does it look like this? A little bit like that? Not quite like that? Maybe bigger? Is it a teddy bear instead of a lion? No? A flamingo? Bright pink flamingo? Man, that'd make me feel better just to look at it, wouldn't it? They're beautiful. They got fine these long legs, don't they? I don't know what kind of noise flamingos make. Is he making a flamingo noise instead of a frog noise or instead of a bird noise? That sounds kind of like I'd think a flamingo in a snit would say. Well, I think I'd rather have a flamingo than that monkey. He looks kind of scary, doesn't he? Well, there are all kinds of things that make us feel better. And one reason I like this little lion is there's a story called The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And in those stories, there are lots of them actually, the lion is like Jesus. He's strong and he's powerful and he's gentle. You like what? You have that little one? You like little things. You do. You have a tiger. I don't have a tiger, but I have a lion. And sometimes when I'm scared, I think about those stories. One of the children in the stories was named Lucy, and she was kind of scared of the lion at first. You had a lion when you were little, but now you're grown up. What happened to your lion? You don't? You have a tiger instead? I see. The truth will out. You don't? Well, a baby Yoda. You know, I'm kind of jealous about your baby Yoda because I would like to have one. My baby Ryan would like to have one too. Well, I'm glad that you have things that make you feel more comfortable and make you feel safe. Probably the thing that makes you feel safest is having somebody that loves you, like Rue. He has his mommy, and he hides in her pocket sometimes, and he feels very safe and comfortable even when she bounces, even when life is kind of scary. If we're safe with somebody that we know loves us, we don't get so scared and we feel at peace. And my last thing about peace this morning is this little thing. What is this? Uh-oh. Can you tell what this is? Yeah, it is a doll. What does she have on her back? Looks almost like a backpack, doesn't it? I think it's supposed to be wings. When my kids were little, one of the things we did every night before they went to bed was have some prayer time and talk about their day. And then I'd sing to them this little song. I don't sing very well anymore. I'm old and my voice creaks. But I'm going to sing anyway, so you're warned. All night, all day, angels watching over me, my Lord. All night, all day, angels watching over me. Now I lay me down to sleep, angels watching over me, my Lord. Pray the Lord my soul to keep, angels watching over me. All night, all day, angels watching over me, my Lord. All night, all day, angels watching over me. Okay, go in peace and have a good time wherever you're going. And make all those funny noises so somebody else can know what flamingos sound like when they're sitting in church. Bye. Go in peace. And I'll pick up all my toys. Maybe. I don't think he believes me. Watch.
As we prepare to hear God's word, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. This morning, our scripture comes from the book of Psalms. Chapter 23, listen for God's word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We
The second scripture today comes from Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm actually going to pick up a couple of verses before our section starts, actually maybe just one, no two. I'm going to pick up at verse 8. So listen for the word of the Lord. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. And this is what I want us to really hear. For we are what God has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. So then remember that at one time you Gentiles by birth, called the uncircumcision by those who are called the circumcision, a physical circumcision made in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one and has broken down the dividing wall that is the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death that hostility through it. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together spiritually into a dwelling place of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Catherine said that it had been 5 years since I had been here, and that's true. The last bulletin I had from Time and Dalton was June the 19th, 2016. That doesn't seem possible, but it's been that long. And we've all had lots of water under the bridge in that period of time, haven't we? I think last year put us all under the bridge. Maybe I'm speaking for myself, but I'm still floundering around down there trying to climb out. But it's a joy to be back with you, and always am so grateful for people who are responsible and do the things that they've been asked to do, whether it's turning the lights on, opening the office, doing the lay liturgy, helping me find things. All those things you all do without being reminded over and over and over, it's a joy, and it makes it easy. When you do pulpit supply, you kind of count on people having things in order, which is interesting since I'm probably one of the least organized people in the world. I need it to be organized when I come so that I know what to expect and know a little bit about how you function. And I'm delighted with the music, as I always am in this congregation. And Adam, I don't know where he went. He might be hiding back. Oh, there you are. I'm glad to have a chance to listen to the choir under your direction. You weren't here 5 years ago, so I'm glad you're here now. And I'm glad I'm here now. So what does all that have to do with the scripture? Well, hopefully something. It says we're built into a temple of God. I think that means we're built into the community of God, which can mean that we do things that people in community do for one another, whether it's family or whether it's church family or, you know, we'd like to think whether it's government, but that doesn't always work. So, but it's good to know that it works in the church, that we are members one of another, and that we have special place in the family of God, which is really what this passage is about, I think, more than anything. I struggled with it. Not because it's not familiar, but maybe because it's so familiar. It's one of my favorite passages, actually. Ephesians, kind of a particularly favorite book. It's one that long years ago was used in a Bible study of the congregation that was trying to form to make Crossroads Presbyterian Church in Stone Mountain. And I used it as a basis for sermons at Faith because there's so much in Ephesians that talks about what the church needs to be and what Paul thought the church was called to be in Christ Jesus. So it's a special thing to me. Last year, I felt like it was just a time of turmoil. Personally, I had a lot of friends that were very ill, a couple that died of COVID, and some others that died because they were older or just had other illnesses. It was lonely. My children are in Seattle. Seattle wasn't the easiest place to be either. It was lonely because I really didn't have a church home. It was good in a way because I got to hear people preach that I have admired for a lot of years and don't often get to hear preach. Reminded me that I'm fairly brazen to open my mouth given the quality of preaching that's available out there online for folks. But it was a hard year. After 9 years, I'm still not able to be part of the faith community, and that's very difficult. I've returned to my Methodist roots, and most of the time that works pretty well in Blue Ridge. But it's a very, you know, I'd looked so forward to coming home. I had 3 years in Paris, Tennessee, which was a great little town, and I enjoyed it. But I was ready to come home at the end of 3 years. And then I came home, and everything shut down. So it was a hard year. And that's probably mild compared to how some of you felt. The thing that really got me the most about last year, and I'm still working through it, was that because things were so horrendous in our country, so much division, so much hostility, so much violence, on top of the pandemic, on top of all the political stuff, it was just an impossible feeling time. And I thought, Lord, I have so little to complain about. And I just kind of withdrew from God too, thinking God was too busy in the world. Now let me tell you something, I know better than that. But I didn't do better than that. I didn't feel, at least as a constant, God's peace, God's assurance that what was troubling me was troubling him. Other passages, Peter's one of them, cast all your cares on him because he cares about you. I tell that to people. I've always used that when I've had the prayers of the people. But last year, I thought, there are too many cares for me to put more on God. Now, that's a little arrogant when you stop and think about it. But I didn't find peace. I struggled the entire year, and I was mad as fire. And that does not do much for peacefulness either, does it? So what did I do? I grumbled. On good days, I sat on my porch and enjoyed the hummingbirds, and they fight like the little devils they are, too, you know? I felt just like those hummingbirds. That's my, you know, doom, doom, doom. It was a nasty time, even sitting on my porch, which is wonderful. And I thought, Lord, who am I anymore? And what use do you have for me? Well, I'm still trying to figure out some of the what use, but I'm working on it. And it's helped that people like David Jordan and Dawsonville and Will and a few others have thought that there might be enough use that when they need to be on vacation, they'll at least let me come and sub. Now, that may not be true after I've been there once in Dalton, but David keeps inviting me back. I think he's desperate for some time away. But at any rate, that has really been helpful to me. Because I do feel like sometimes God still has some use for a 76-year-old kind of witchy lady. But I'm working on the witchy part. 76, I can't do too much about. I think I'm just going to get older. But I'm grateful in many ways. And I think what God's brought back to me this year is more gratitude than frustration. And I'm very grateful for that. And I imagine most of my friends and my family are too. What does this have to do with Ephesians? Those first two verses that really don't go with today's lection, and somebody may have preached on those last week, help to ground us, I think. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which were prepared beforehand to be our way of life. It gives us an assurance that we are important to God, that we are gifted by God, that there's work God calls us to do no matter our age, no matter our circumstances. And they were prepared long before we ever hit the radar screen on the world scene. In a general way, we're all created to live out into the image of God, in the image of Christ as much as we can. Be agents of God's love and mercy and grace. Be able to be kind. One time, my little brother, who was 12 years younger than I, came home from Sunday school and he was in a snit. He was about 4. And I said, "Paul, what's wrong with you?" And he said, "Those other boys are not being ye kind unto me." And I think about that a lot, you know. Sometimes, even in church, we're not being ye kind unto one another, are we? And if we're not, what does that say about us in terms of our faith, in terms of how we live our lives? So there's a way that we are created to be when we are in Christ Jesus, in the way we live our life, in the way we interact with one another. But I think we might also look at that passage in a more personal sense. I think there are specific things that God has prepared for us to do as individuals. So we have the corporate way of life that's for all of us who claim the name of Christ in the way we relate, in the way we treat one another. And we have the individual gifts that God gives to us. And God has prepared us for, and that is a real assurance when everything else seems to be going to hell in a handbasket, not even a very nice handbasket. You know, that was helpful to me, but it wasn't helpful in the midst of it all, and I'm kind of ashamed to say that. I find myself struggling to love people who were being so hostile and ugly. I found myself grieving when the churches were ripped apart because people were on different sides politically or different sides culturally. And I think, Lord, how are we supposed to deal with this? It feels too heavy. It feels too much for me. I don't know how to help people figure that out. What hits me in this passage is that it really isn't up to us to figure it out so much. Jesus says, or Paul says about Jesus, he is our peace. We don't conjure up peace. It's a fact of being in Christ Jesus. And what we need to do is tap into that peace. Tap into it personally, and when we trust God to be our peace, trust God's call on our life, claim on our life, trust God that we're no longer aliens and strangers, but part of God's beloved community, only then can we begin to reach beyond those boundaries that we put around ourselves. Jesus has broken down the hostility. Jesus has broken down the dividing wall. In the Old Testament way of being, in fact, it might still continue. I'm not sure enough to know, but I think it continues. There's a court of the Gentiles and a court of the Jews in the Old Temple. And it was even for a proselyte, a Gentile who had begun to be a God worshiper, if that person went into the court of the Jews, there was a possibility that that person would be put to death. That wall was such a strong fortress. And that's what this passage is talking about in one sense. That literal wall was torn down. Jesus had abolished that part of the law. Jews and Gentiles were seen the same in Christ. All of them, God's chosen people. When we look at the state of our world and state of people who are in disagreement with us, people who are different from us, when we look at the violence, when we look at the hatred, it sounds too simple to say Jesus has broken down that wall. And yet in our heart, that has to be true before we can begin to reach out and to break down some walls ourselves. We have to understand that in Christ Jesus, all of God's people, all people are God's people. All people are loved and cherished and gifted by God. Sometimes that doesn't make us feel peaceful. Sometimes it makes us feel guilty. I think where the peace comes is that when God has something for us to do about that, God prompts us in ways that are something we can do something about. Being kind to people on the street, being kind to people we in our neighborhood, being kind and gracious and gentle. Sometimes firmly gentle, but gentle and respectful of all people because of what Jesus has done in breaking down those walls. The gift of peace is there. Again, we don't have to manufacture it. We tap into what's there. And that's easier than we might think. It's transformative if we really, truly believe that God has given us that kind of peace and gifted us to reach out and love one another. When we really feel that we belong, then we don't have to be so territorial. We need to really feel our own worth and love from God before we really are able to extend that to anybody else. I don't know if any of this is making sense or if you wish that I just stayed at home this morning. You might wish both. But I'm telling you what I've struggled with, I guess, all year. Maybe that's not where you, maybe I'm scratching where you don't itch. But these are things that with looking at this passage again have been helpful to me. God has a purpose for the church, And that church is to be a light to the world. We live in Christ's light and in Christ's peace and in Christ's love. And as that body of Christ, we are called to live like that, to live so that people will know us by our love for one another, know us by the way we treat one another in our families, in our church family, in our community, hopefully in our nation and in our world. And hopefully that's not a guilt trip. I've struggled with the guilt trip far too long. I think we do what God places in front of us to do, and do it faithfully and lovingly. And God stretches our boundaries. We don't have to push to do that so much. I hope I'm not giving false comfort, but that's where I've come, because I can't handle all the stuff at once. I can handle one day at a time, most days. I can handle one task at a time and look at it as a gift and as a promise being fulfilled. And that helps me. So I hope it does you too. In a world that's been upside down, I pray that we're seeing it kind of turn back to more hope and more promise. I feel that. And you all help me feel that. Look at us. We're sitting here in this congregation without any masks on, or very few masks on. We're grateful to be healthy and strong. And that gives us hope to keep going and to pray and work for those who are not in such a place of privilege. We give God thanks for bringing us to this point. I give God thanks for bringing us to this point. And I'm sure you do more. I'm trying to figure out where I am, in case you're wondering. Which you're probably not, since I'm flapping my bulletin around. I should remember, because this hymn is one of my favorites. And it fits for me here because it is a prayer for us to live out of God's peace and out of God's love. Hymn number 169, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind.
Thank you.
affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. On the back of our bulletin, we have a number of people who are on the prayer list. Sometimes when I do pulpit supply, I just read those names because I don't know the people. And I do want to be sure that we pray for Johnny's family and for each of you who love her. That's a special, special person gone from your midst. Are there others that are not on the list that you want me to include? So we got the waterfront covered, is that what you're telling me? Let's pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for the opportunity to worship you in freedom and in peace in this land. Lord, even as we struggle with the issues in our land, there is so much for which we are grateful. And freedom of worship, freedom of speech, freedom to assemble. These are some of the top ones. Lord, we give you thanks. We give you thanks that the things that trouble our hearts trouble yours as well. The huge things and the small things. But I'm not sure that anything is really small to you if it affects your children. And I thank you for that assurance that's been coming back to me over the past year. Lord, I pray for those of us still struggling to believe that our cares are worth bringing to your throne in the face of so much in our nation and in our world, particularly, that is so difficult. Lord, we pray for those in the midst of weather-related disasters, whether it be flooding or fire or earthquake. So many things, Lord, that have affected people across the globe in ways that seem unprecedented. Lord, we pray for your comfort, your provision, for the ways that we can help make their lives easier. We pray that you show us. Father, we pray for those in our own families who struggle with addictions, with illness, with cognitive and physical challenges. Lord, we pray for those in this congregation who've asked for prayer, who need our prayers, for Kristen Sanders, for Paula Morrow, for Tanya Hunter, for Claudia Rivers King, for Kelly, Laura, and Charles, all good daughter-in-law, for Karen, for Mark, for Pam Partain's friend, Elizabeth, for Greg George, for First Pres of Cahada, and I might add for Susan Reagan's family, for Mandy, and for Ken, and for Amy, for Martha Patton, for Johnny's family,
For Joel Alvis, not only in his work as stated clerk, which is drawing to an end, but for Joel personally in the loss of his mother. Father, it doesn't matter how long we have been blessed with our mothers, and Joel had been blessed with his a long time. She was in her 90s. We miss them. And we ask for your healing comfort to his heart. Lord, we ask for your care for those who are giving care, for the extreme fatigue and heaviness that's on their shoulders. As an aging parent myself, I pray for me and for those who are even older and for those who are caring for parents that are older. It's a very hard thing, Father, when we become parents to our parents. It's a hard line, hard to feel like we're being respectful and honoring our parents sometimes when we have to trade places, set boundaries, try to know what's best to do, sometimes against their will. Lord, I pray for those who are dealing with those issues. Lord, I thank you for the way you hear us. And I would ask, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Receive the offering. Are you all passing your plates at this point? How are you doing that? That's one thing I don't know. There's a few, but that one comes to mind immediately, and I forgot to ask. So we will receive the offering. Lord, we give you thanks for gifting us and for enabling us to gift others through our offerings. Lord, receive what we bring, multiply our gifts, so that the needs of the church community and the community at large can be met, because you have gifted us. We give you thanks in Christ's name. Amen. Many of you knew that hymn, had ever heard it before. If you have access to your hymnal at points, look at those words. They're wonderful words. It can be a really bouncy hymn, but I actually, maybe it was better that Adam didn't bounce it the way I've heard it sung before, because you have to pay attention to the words that way. And probably that was worth being here there for this morning, because the words are powerful. And I think they capture that passage of Scripture far more fully than I did. Go forth into the world at peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is true. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support all who suffer. Support the weak. And honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the Holy Spirit. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.